T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Welcome back, Sports Radio 94 WIP. Mark Cerise, Joe Giglio in for John Marks alongside Ike. We have Jack behind the glass. You guys with us, 215-592-9494. A ton to get into here. Sixers win last night. They even the series 1-1. Has your confidence level risen since the game started last night? Mine's exactly where it was. This is going to Sixers are going to win this series, but it's not going to be easy. Ike's confidence level here has grown, and of course the Phillies find a way to blow another game last night. They play the Braves again tonight. So we got Kevin O'Connor of The Ringer coming up in just a couple seconds. But first, you know what we got to do here. It's 4 o'clock, and that means, yes, we got to give people a chance here to win $1,000 right now. Just text the word MELODY to 72881. One randomly selected nationwide texter will win $1,000. You got another chance to win tomorrow at 4 p.m. and every day at 8 a.m., 12 p.m., 1 p.m., 3 p.m., and 4 p.m. This, of course, all powered by BetQL. Let BetQL's proven data and analytics help you become a better bettor. Download the BetQL app today. So good luck there. And now we got to talk to our buddy Kevin O'Connor from TheRinger.com. And, of course, our guest weekly here on the Marks and Reese Show. Kevin, how you doing, man?
I'm doing great, guys. How you doing today?
Kev, we're doing great. After a win last night, listen, yes. we got this series is even. I'm sitting here the other day, Kevin. I'm all worried. And the Sixers go out there last night, and they controlled that game for a little while. Hawks got back in it, but then the Shake Milton show. What was your big takeaway from game two, the Sixers even the series here?
The fact that we talked about this week on the mismatch with Chris Vernon, and he said to me, if we didn't know about Embiid's injury, you'd have no idea he was hurt. And that kind of sums it all up for me. Seeing Embiid drop 40 points on 25 field goals, 16 free throws, the way he's drawing fouls, the way he defended Trae Young on the perimeter in that first quarter, he doesn't look hurt. If we didn't know about that, there'd be no concern. So the fact that we can say that about Joel Embiid, that bodes pretty well for the Sixers as long as he's able to continue dealing with any whatever nagging pain there might be.
Yeah, we got a little bit of a mixed bag of feelings going on right now, KOC, after these two games. So you're unbiased here. Like, we're obviously rooting for the Sixers here. So leave this series, they head to Atlanta 1-1. Who feels better going to Atlanta, the Hawks or the Sixers right now?
The Sixers should be feeling much better, and it's because of that game two adjustment, putting, you know, Danny Green off of Trae Young. They had him defending him the majority of the time in game one. Of course, that change was made to Ben Simmons and Matisse Thybulle being the primary defenders. So that is the problem that the Atlanta Hawks and their coaching staff is going to have to solve. How do you get Trae Young going against these bigger, longer, more skilled and agile defenders than Thybulle and Simmons, the two best defenders on Philadelphia, two of the best wing defenders in the entire league? How do you solve that problem if you're the Hawks? Clearly, like, Philly should be feeling good because of that, in my opinion. Atlanta's got some issues to fix up.
We're talking to Kevin O'Connor. At Kevin O'Connor NBA is his Twitter handle. Read his work, TheRinger.com. Catch Kevin on The Mismatch with Chris Vernon every Tuesday and Friday and the Sunday night edition of The Ringer NBA Show. Kevin, we did get some news. Shams tweeted this out before you hopped on with us. DeAndre Hunter didn't play the first two games this series. He's going to be out for the season undergoing meniscus surgery. So kind of their version of what Joel's going through, but obviously his is costing him the rest of the playoffs here. How big of a deal is this, that DeAndre Hunter not only is out, but like is not coming back either?
I think it's actually a bigger deal than the name DeAndre Hunter might appear to be on the surface because, you know, even though he's a young player, he's a really, really good defensive player for his age. So you could use him if you're Atlanta against a Tobias Harris, who's had two good offensive performances thus far. You could use him against Ben Simmons, trying to hurt Philadelphia's ability to get into their offensive set. So losing that size and bulk that Hunter would provide, that's going to really hurt them in this series, in my opinion. And when I thought after game one that, oh, maybe Atlanta could make something of this and go a little deeper in the series than I might have thought originally, especially with the Embiid injury, one of the reasons why was because of DeAndre Hunter. And if they're losing him, that significantly impacts what their defense can be.
So you feel like the Sixers have, even though this is a tied series, winning the way they did last night, with Embiid looking the way he's looked through two games, are still in control of this series?
For sure. I think so. I mean, Atlanta just has too many problems to solve. Like, we talked about Hunter.
Yeah.
Embiid just bullied anybody who defended him. If you're Atlanta, do you go small? I mean, they have a lot of problems to solve here, whereas Philadelphia, like, the only real concern here is Ben Simmons' free throws, as we've talked about in recent weeks, and the bench. I mean, but when Shake Milton goes off like that, that's all you can ask for.
Well, that was going to be my next question. I'm going to say one of the things that stood out last night was the fact the bench didn't score until Shake Milton scored late in the third quarter. When you look at the Sixers overall, right, we just look at the last eight teams, I believe there are, in the playoffs that are remaining. The Sixers may have the weakest bench. Would you say they have the weakest bench when you just look around the other teams? And I'm wondering if that could be something that could hurt them moving forward in the playoffs.
I don't know if it's the weakest. I think Milwaukee, especially after losing DiVincenzo, could be arguably a weaker bench. The Denver bench isn't great either, even though they've performed really, really well around Jokic. I think a lot of it will depend on, especially moving forward, if we're talking about next round against Brooklyn or maybe Milwaukee were to come back, does Doc Rivers go with the all-bench units, five bench players, or is he going to mix and match and have Embiid out there and Simmons out there, or even just Tobias Harris like we saw a bit more last night? To me, it's more about the lineups and the combinations that Doc Rivers puts out there than the talent itself, because I don't think the talent is poor by any means. We've seen Shake Milton have big games. Matisse Thybulle is one of the best defenders in basketball. You know, Dwight Howard is a rock solid big for you. So it's not like the bench is without talent. So it's about the combinations that go out there, in my opinion, for Philadelphia more than anything else.
Kevin, it wouldn't be a Sixers game, a Sixers playoff game, a big game, if we didn't talk about Ben Simmons and what he did and what he didn't do. Very good defensively last night. We expect that at this point. But, Kevin, 4 points, three field goal attempts, 0 of 2 from the free throw line. Can they keep winning like this? I mean, basically the way we see it is, like, Joel's amazing. And then they're really asking a role player to do more each night to make up for these points that Ben's not scoring. It was Curry last night with 21, Shake with 14. They got 35 that way. You know, Ben, you know, we don't expect 30, but usually you expect 15 or 16. Can they keep winning if Simmons has these kind of games?
Not against Brooklyn, that's for sure. And not in a potential NBA Finals either against a Utah or Phoenix or Clippers. Like, Ben Simmons at some point is going to have to produce more offensively. I think that will have to change, especially in the coming rounds. Right now, you can get past Atlanta with Ben Simmons averaging 5 points in the series. But next round, I think that's going to have to change.
Anything stood out to you when you look at those other matchups? Brooklyn. Man, I'm not surprised they're up 2-0, but they had a 40-point win the other day against Milwaukee.
Oh, my God. Brooklyn's clicking. They are clicking.
And you think that's sustainable, even though with Harden and the gimpy hamstring?
I'd say they can get through Philadelphia without Harden. I think it would be a close series either way. There's a point of diminishing returns, you know? Like, they would just go to Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving less if James Harden were out there. It just changes a little bit out there for them. But I don't think their offense is significantly worse without Harden. It's just about when they have those other guys off the floor. So with Brooklyn, I feel like this team is really hitting their stride. The way Kevin Durant is playing on defense, he looks like prime Kevin Durant when we saw him playing the five in the finals for the Warriors. And Kyrie Irving's putting in effort. Blake Griffin diving on the floor for loose balls. The Nets are coming alive on the defensive end of the floor, and considering what they are at offense, that should be very, very scary for the rest of the NBA.
Kevin, was Blake Griffin just tanking in Detroit? I haven't seen him jump that high in 5 years.
Yeah, I believe he was. It's a long con.
It got him to Brooklyn. Kevin, you mentioned a few minutes ago the potential finals matchup. You said the Suns, you said the Jazz, you said the Clippers. As you see it right now, based on what you've seen in the playoffs, who's your favorite in the West? You know, we know Utah is the one seed. They're the favorite. But who's your favorite in the West to come out right now?
It is Utah. It is Utah. Though Phoenix, the way they've come alive and the way they've developed in the postseason, and the way DeAndre Ayton especially has performed, that closes the gap quite a bit for me. So between the Jazz and the Suns, they're the two favorites. I'd lean towards Utah because of the amount of experience that team has playing together. And I think if they get Mike Conley back, that's only going to level them up even more.
I didn't think I would ever live long enough to see in the NBA Western Conference semis and potential Western Finals, Phoenix, Utah, Denver, and the Clippers.
Times have
changed. Those are the four teams remaining in the West. It's unbelievable.
It's pretty wild. And some of those teams or specific players like Chris Paul have been through it, you know?
Right.
So it's kind of cool to see this new teams in there instead of the same old, same old.
Well, when the Sixers, who haven't won a title in nearly 40 years, since 1983, is the only franchise remaining who's most recently won a title,
yeah,
of the teams that are there. Most of them haven't even ever won a title.
Like the Clippers.
They never even won one. I think it's a good thing that there's new blood, there's young talent. That's what I've enjoyed about these NBA playoffs, is that these young players seem to be poised to carry the league into the next generation of basketball. So we as basketball fans should be excited about that. I'm liking seeing out of the young guys.
No doubt about it. I'm with you. I think, I know people were talking about ratings and all that. No, you know, I don't have some big market teams like the Lakers in there and all that. But I'll tell you what, anybody watching these games, there's a lot of great basketball being played right now. Like the way the Jazz play and the way the Suns play, it's fun team basketball. It's enjoyable to watch, and they have some great young players, Devin Booker, and you got Donovan Mitchell, and some older guys like Chris Paul. It's fun basketball to watch in the West. And then in the East, I think regardless of what happens with that Nets-Bucks series, next round with the Sixers assuming they get through the Hawks, that could be a really epic series as well with just such a contrasted style. But I'm excited for what the weeks and months to come are going to look like.
One final thing from me. The NBA voters got it right. Jokic, MVP, your thoughts?
They did get it right. I'm a little bit surprised. The only thing that was wrong on there was the fans putting Derrick Rose.
What was that?
I didn't even know fans had a vote.
We got to take it away now.
So is that how Derrick Rose got the one vote? It was the fans' vote?
It was a fan vote. I'm not sure how the fan vote's conducted for MVP. I wasn't aware.
Well, we're taking it away. It's over now. You're not allowed to have a vote anymore. Kevin,
it was just a troll vote. I loved it.
Yeah, well, that's exactly what it was. But it counts, I guess. Kevin, we appreciate you hopping on. We'll chat next week and enjoy these playoffs. It's great so far.
Thank you. You guys as well.
There he goes. Kevin O'Connor of The Ringer there. ReadersWork, TheRinger.com. Kevin, the mismatch with Chris Vernon every Tuesday and Friday and the Sunday night edition of The Ringer NBA show. So it sounds like he's not sweating this Hawks thing at all for the Sixers.
No, he's liked the Sixers from afar. He likes Ben Simmons. The Sixers looked pretty good last night. I'm just amazed at what Joel Embiid looks like, supposedly having a torn meniscus, a small tear. Man, he looks better than he looked prior to that tear in his meniscus. I know that much.
Well, he said he discussed it on his podcast. Like, if you didn't know he was injured, you wouldn't know. It's amazing.
I agree. And with that, I think these first two games, sure, I would have liked the Sixers to have won both games and be heading to Atlanta with a 2-0 lead. But my major concern prior to Sunday's first game one was, what does Joel Embiid look like? Here we go again. We got a hobbled Embiid. So we're not going to get a chance to see what the Sixers would actually look like with their guy at his best. Now, doesn't mean he's not injured. I'm just telling you, I'm pleasantly surprised that he's playing the way that he is, considering he's injured. This is beyond shocking to me.
It's all-time stuff.
And the minutes that he's playing.
Yeah, you know, if you had expected 20 minutes, 25, we would have said, oh, that makes sense.
Yeah.
No, he's just out there like nothing is off, and they get the win last night. Did your confidence level in the Sixers winning the series grow last night, or did it stay the same? That is our Twitter poll question, sponsored by Mark's Jewelers, looking for that perfect graduation present, or maybe you want to get a jump on Father's Day. Mark's Jewelers in Montgomeryville has dads and grads covered. Shop online at marks-jewelers.com. So at Mark's3WIP, we put the question up. 59% are with you, Ike. Said their confidence level has grown after watching last night. 41% are with me. It has stayed the same. Let's talk to Tom, who is in Vancouver. Tom is up on WIP. Hey, Tom.
Hello, gentlemen.
What's up, Tom?
I cannot believe. Ike, how about Embiid?
How about it?
Did you donate your meniscus? I didn't know you could do that.
I didn't need somebody has.
Ike's limping around here, but it's worth it.
I'm limping, and I got both my meniscus in there, yeah.
So, you know, Joe, I think you got to relax a little bit here. Every round should be hard. Teams represent different challenges, so this is what happens, you know. So I wouldn't worry about it that much. I think that the key here is still that Embiid has to be playing at around 80%, and Ben, you know, geez, like our specialist just mentioned, has to be playing at 100% if they're even going to have a shot to win it all. And I do think that they're lucky that the Nets would be next, because they are the favorite, and Embiid is likely going to be in better shape to be able to face a team like the Nets. If he were facing them in the finals, then he's going to have more wear and tear on that meniscus, and that would concern me.
Well, that's true. Yeah, I mean, the longer this goes on, it's asking a lot out of Joel to keep playing at this level. And that's why, I mean, the hope's got to be they finish off the Hawks as quickly as they can, give Joel more rest, and then maybe he's ready as much as he can be. Tom, we appreciate it for the Nets series. But, yeah, I mean, it's funny. We're trying to enjoy this, and we are game by game, Ike. But even as Kevin said, like, the whole Ben thing, he's going to have to be more and do more as this gets harder. You can beat the Hawks when he has a game like last night, which was good enough, but there's a different level of competition coming soon, and that's the Nets. And whoever comes out of the West is really good too.
Yeah, you can look at either any of those four teams that are out West, and they are good. And the Nets, who I would assume is going to hold on to beat the Milwaukee Bucks after being up 2-0, this is what those of us that raised this concern about Ben were pointing out.
Yep.
It's like, okay, it's good against the Wizards. He didn't score against the Wizards. The people that were defending Ben or felt like we were unjustifiably being critical of him, it was because what we wanted to see from Ben is growth in his offensive game so that we can feel more confident about the Sixers' potential. It's hard to think about a championship when our quote-unquote either second-best player / 2B can seem disinterested or ineffective on the offensive end of the court. Because when you get to the third level, which is the conference finals, now you're playing the best of the best. And in the Eastern Conference this year, you got three of the game's greatest one-on-one players. Not in this era.
Ever.
In any era.
I mean, you have three Hall of Famers.
Yes.
And they're all great scorers.
The one dude carried you. I mean, no, he didn't carry him. I got carried away. He helped your boy win his title in Cleveland.
Right.
He took the big shot.
Yeah, he was his number two.
Yeah.
Robin to his Batman.
Yeah. No, no doubt about it. I'm just saying, but he has the guts of a number one.
Yeah, he will take any
his
shot.
His mentality is, and we know what the other two can do.
Yeah. Yeah, they're great. I mean,
we know what the other two
the
can
challenge
do.
is immense. And Kevin O'Connor just said to us, he thinks the Nets could beat the Sixers without James Harden. That's a lot.
Man, they certainly look more dominant against the Bucks without James Harden.
And that team has Giannis.
And you know what it is? It's because they don't have to worry about divvying up touching the ball between three primary ball handlers. When it's only two of them,
it's easier.
It's easier for them to do their thing.
It is. They look great right now, and the Sixers up, it's tied 1-1. Game three coming up on Friday. 215-592-9494. Vaughn is in Paulsboro. What's up, Vaughn?
How you doing? What's going on, Joe? Ike, Jack, how you guys doing today?
What's up, Vaughn?
We're good, Vaughn. What are you thinking?
Yeah, man. My confidence is a lot better than what it has been, especially with Embiid having this injury. He took a couple spills that had me a little worried that he might be agitating that injury, but they pulled it through. My only issue is it's just with Simmons, man, it's like it seems like he'll be open, and the first thing he wants and needs to do is pass. And I agree with Ike. It's like, you know, you're not a shooter, so get up under the rim, get some rebounds, offensive rebounds, so you can help your team out, put up some more points on the board. But other than that, you know, I'm pretty confident that the Sixers can pull this out. And another thing, the guy that called yesterday in regards to taking his girlfriend to the game and Philly's team winning, we need to get him some tickets to Atlanta so we can keep that streak going.
Oh, for sure.
You know what, Vaughn? It's a good point. So after the game last night, I sent him a tweet and said the Sixers got to get him tickets to game five. But Vaughn's on to something. Let's get him down to Atlanta.
Yeah, we don't have time to mess around. We liable to come back down 3-1.
I feel like we might be putting his name was Mark. We might be putting Mark and his girlfriend in a tough spot, though. Like, it's one thing to just say, all right, go to the game in Philadelphia. Now we're making them travel. Like, forget your job, forget your priorities. Just get on a bus or a plane. Get
who's putting them up in a hotel room, too? Like, yeah, who's paying for them and where they're going to stay?
Who's paying for all this? Not us, that's for sure. Will the Sixers? If the Sixers care about winning a title.
They care about winning, man.
I'm sure if you ask Joel, he'll probably pay for it himself. David is in Germantown. What's up, David?
What's up, David?
Yeah, that was one of my things, too, the guy with his girl.
David, you know what? A little hard to hear you there. We'll come back to David. Let's talk to Mike, Center City. What's up, Mike? Mike?
Okay.
Going once, Mike twice, and Mike goes back on hold. All right, we'll get all that settled down. 215-592-9494. As the Sixers go to 1-1 with the victory last night, it was not easy, though. I mean, it was not easy. That was a close game. And then all of a sudden it was like, boom, Shake Milton comes in and everything just changes. I mean, that talk about role players that play a big role in a game. Like, if this thing turns out to be a finals run, we're going to remember the Shake game for a long time.
The Shake game.
It was a Shake Milton game.
Shake gets a game?
That was his game.
Well, we had a Maxi game.
Yes.
Maxi had what, game five of the – was it the game five?
Game
the first
four.
One? Was that game four?
Right.
No, it was game five.
Game five.
It was a closeout game,
okay,
right?
Okay, the Maxi game.
Yeah. That was the Maxi game.
The Milton game.
We got the Milton game in game two.
Who's next? Which Sixer role player is next to get their own game?
Is there a Furkan game coming?
Well,
I don't think people want Furkan back out on the
court. Yeah, most of our callers don't want anything to do with a Furkan game. Is there a Mike Scott game? No.
No, there's definitely not a
there
Mike Scott.
There better not be. If you're listening, don't even think about it with the Mike Scott game. I can't imagine there's a Dwight Howard game. You think? Blocks?
Could there
rebounds?
Be a Dwight Howard game? No, because if there's a Dwight Howard game, that means Embiid is in foul trouble or
hurt,
something.
Or he's the knee swelled up. Yeah, we don't want a Dwight game.
No.
George Hill could have a game. George Hill has enough playoff experience. He could get three or four threes. You down on George Hill there?
I'm just saying, man. George Hill is out there, but I don't know what he's doing.
Yeah, I don't know if the Sixers do either.
I don't know what he's contributing. I see him out there, but I don't really see anything.
Yeah, well, not enough. That's for sure. 215-592-9494. That is how you hop in right here on Mark Series. On the other side, continue taking your Sixers calls. Did your confidence level grow watching yesterday's game, or is it still the same? And Jeff Stoutland destroyed an Eagles beat writer today. You'll hear that next. Right? Yeah. I mean, I think it's a verbal destroy. I don't think he beat anybody up.
It's verbal.
Verbal.
It's verbal.
Let's make sure.
Ike, relax in there.
I'm going to start rumors here. 215-592-9494. That's a hop in. Mark Sari, Sports Radio 94 WIP.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.